Turned out to be a beautiful day's weather. Nice and cool and rainy. So I feel much more home. But I don't see any possibility of extending the conference for the sake of the good weather we have. But it is really an answer to prayer. Some of us have prayed for that weather. And in the end, as always, the Lord has answered our prayers. I wish that we really could learn as God's people to pray in matters that are more important. I heard when I was in New York that there had been some Christians praying against this moon preacher from Korea. And the Lord had heard their prayers so that rain poured down the whole day when this deceiver was going to have his big meeting at the Madison Square Garden. And there only came half of those who were expected. And it seems it turned out to be a failure. How much we could see God working in our nation if we as the Lord's people could really understand this lesson which we have sung in this chorus. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people will humble themselves and pray. Now, brothers and sisters, it's been my privilege to share with you on the Beatitudes, but it would be impossible to cover the last four of those beautiful attitudes. And besides, I have felt in the last 24 hours an increasing burden exactly concerning this matter of learning to pray and intercede for our nation, learning to rule with Christ, not only in theory, not only when we come home one day, but also when we are here on this earth. So if you will forgive me, I feel the Lord has given me liberty to share tonight this last session of mine on this very important matter. And I would like to read tonight, first of all, two scriptures. The first is found in the prophet of Isaiah and chapter 56. And verse 7. And it's only the last sentence. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all the people. And from Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12 and 13. And Jesus entered the temple and cast out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. Shall we pray? Lord, we come to you this evening. Lord, we are well aware of our great need in this very hour of your presence with us. Lord, we feel like your servant Moses, that if your presence shall not go with us, it would be better for us not to move. If your presence will not be with us this night, Lord, there will be nothing to speak of, nothing to hear. Oh God, we pray that you will come right in. We have been singing of that blessed name of Jesus, of the mighty power in that name. And Lord, we remind you that you have said that when we gather together, two or three, in the name of Jesus, you will be with us. You will be in our midst. We pray tonight, Lord, that this may indeed be reality and truth amongst us. Help us, dear Lord. Open up our eyes. Let us see your desire for your church, your purpose for your church. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus entered into Jerusalem and went into his father's house, into the temple. But he didn't find the thing that was the purpose of it all. He found many other things in the house. He found a lot of religious activities, buying and selling, various forms of sacrifices. But the very thing that was in God's heart and he designed for his house to be was not there. And he got angry and he took a robe and he wiped out all these money changes, and he turned over the tables, and he said with a very strong voice, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den." Brothers and sisters, I wonder, if the Lord were to come back and enter into his spiritual house today, into his church, I wonder really what he would do. I wonder if he would find the same lack of prayer, lack of understanding, that the church has not been put here on this earth for its own sake, but God has great plans. He has designed his people. He has designed and purposed to use his people for things that has to do with the whole earth and every nation upon the earth. I wonder whether he would do the very same thing as he did in Jerusalem that day. I'm afraid to a certain degree he would do it. Wherever I go today to meet the people of the Lord, I very rarely find many groups of believers or many local churches that really have any concern for the nations on the earth and no concern for their own nation, maybe. My house shall be called a house of prayer unto all nations. Very often we see that the church has become introspective. It has been self-occupied, self-centered. It has been filled with religious activities. But the very important, most important of all the functions of the house of God is lacking. There is a tremendous lack of prayer today amongst the people of God. Look at the prayer meetings wherever you go. Look at that little group of feeble old sisters, almost, that are gathering together in the ordinary prayer meeting during the week to struggle in prayer and intercede both for the church and for all that is of any concern to our God. I met an American Pentecostal pastor in Scandinavia. He said to me, "We have a saying in America. We used to say that Sunday morning we can see how popular the pastor is. And Sunday evening we will see how popular the church is. But at the weekly prayer meeting we can all see how popular God is." I believe it's a very true saying. Oh, the lack of prayer there is amongst the people of God today. You have made it a rubber stain. You have made it something else. I'm quite sure that what we have robbed more than anything else is the glory of God and His desire to see His purposes fulfilled on this earth. How we have robbed Him through the lack of prayer. Do you not feel that we ought to be responsible in some way as the Church of Christ, as the Lord's people, for the things that are going to happen and the things that are already happening in our nations on this earth? Do you really believe that God is not concerned? That He is indifferent? If you look up in Ezekiel, the 3rd chapter, there are some very strong words that has often shaken my heart. Ezekiel 3 and verse 16. "Now it came about at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds, which he has done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself? Do you understand that kind of responsibility? Have you sometimes wondered whether God might hold us responsible for things that are happening around us? When I look at my own country, there's only one thing I truly can say after being in prayer group for 6 years and praying regularly for my own nation. I believe that the church has a great deal of the guilt of my nation and the way that things have went. I believe that because of the lack of prayer, there has been no watchmen who could warn the wicked, who in their prayers to build a wall to defend the people from all the enemy's wicked attacks upon us. One morning as I was praying, I saw before me a bill. And that bill, on that bill were written some of the dreadful and terrible sins that our nation has been involved in through the last years. There were 20,000 abortions every year in Denmark. This is murder. There were thousands of drug addicts on that list. There were thousands of broken homes. There were things like in the Danish church, they have already started to marry homosexuals. Several priests. And I thought to myself, well, Lord, sometimes there must be someone who shall pay that bill. And I often think that we are blaming our government too much. And we are thinking that they are those who are responsible and they will have to stand and be responsible for all the evil things that are around us. But it came so clear to me that morning when I prayed for Denmark, I'm afraid that the bill would look different. I'm afraid that there is a bill that will be presented one day to the people of God, and what is written upon it is only one thing: lack of prayer. Lack of prayer. Lack of prayer caused the enemy to come in like a flood in our nation, and we have not felt responsible for it in any way. Oh, if the Lord came into His church today, the church who has been appointed has got the calling of being a prayer house, a house of prayer unto all nations. The Lord would find a lot of entertainment in the church. The Lord would find many beautiful sermons in the church. The Lord would find exercising of gifts, enjoying different blessings in His church. The Lord would find singing and choirs, maybe even clapping in hands, and some places they dance too. He would find a lot of religious activities. But would he find that house of God really functioned as a house of prayer unto the nations? Brothers and sisters, the devil is not scared the least of sermons. He's not scared of the activities we normally have in the church. He's not at all frightened. It doesn't mean a thing to him. The only thing he fears is a praying church. The only thing that he knows will be able to overcome all his evil assaults and break down his authority is a praying church. A church that knows how to pray and intercede and win victories, not only when we come home in heaven, because it's now we need to win some victories around us. It's the church that has come to understand something of what spiritual warfare involves, what it means. A church that is willing to go into battle. The Lord spoke to our fellowship in the beginning of this year. He spoke very strongly. He spoke by allowing some terrible accidents amongst us that brought us down on our knees. We called upon the Lord to inquire by things that happened like that. And the Lord said to us, I want you to understand that I'm calling you throughout the whole year of 1976 to pray as you have never prayed for the church in Denmark and for the nation of Denmark. And right from the beginning, we have separated nights to pray together, whole nights waiting upon the Lord and battling in prayer. The Lord is saying in 2 Peter, all, the end of all things is near. Be of sober judgment and sober mind for the purpose of prayer. Oh, how we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that we have a high calling to come into this prayer warfare and be indeed a house of prayer unto all nations. God has invested all in His church. That's very true. And He has tied Himself and His purpose up with the church. If you look up in Ephesians, the first chapter, and verse 23, the church which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. This means that nothing from God can come nowhere except through the church. The church has become a pipeline. Everything that God wants to do must come through the church. Well, God is sovereign. He can do everything, anytime. But in His sovereignty, He has chosen to work with His people. He has tied Himself up with His church. He has made the church His body and vested into that body all the fullness of Christ, on the life in Christ. All what Christ is and has won, all the authority of Christ. And it's only when the body really understands its calling and begins to function and cooperate with God, that this purpose of God and the fullness of God can flow to all the needy people on the earth. It says in the 22 in Ephesians 1, He put all things in subjection under the feet of Christ and gave Christ as head over all things to the church. It doesn't say that Christ was made the head over all things in the church. It says He was made head of all things, and as head over all things He was given to the church. The Christ that we serve is not only head of the church, He is head of the universe. He is head of the earth. Yes, He is head of the nation. He has been put over all creation. He is head over creation. But we have made Him head only over the church affairs. But He wants to express through His body His unlimited power and glory and authority, and extend His reign from the church over all nations, over the whole earth. In Colossians chapter 1, it says in verse 13, For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And then it says in verse 18, He is also head of the body, the church. Also. That means He's more than head of the church, of the body. He is head of creation. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. He is Lord of all. And He is saying that the earth belongs to Me. And one day the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. The church is a vessel through which God is going to work something. It's a prayer house. In Revelation 9, we are told that we have been made kings and priests. Now, any king is meant for ruling and reigning. It's only the Scandinavian kings that has no power to rule. They are only a figurehead. The Danish queen has been in the United States recently. She hasn't got the least power. But when it says in Revelation, we have been made kings, it means that we have been called to reign and to rule, as we have been listening all this week. And when it says we have been made priests, it means that we are being put into an office priests are those who intercede between the people and God. We have been put into a position where we have been called to intercede for the nations, for the people. We are a prayer house for all the people. Look in Psalm 149. And verse 5, let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their bed. We know that in the church today. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. We know that too. And a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Oh, if we could see it. We have been called to sing praises unto God. Praise the Lord for that. But we have also been called to have a two-edged sword in our hands and to execute vengeance upon the nations, to bind kings with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is an honor to all his godly ones. May I ask you a question? Do you believe that Christ is king now? Do you believe he is crowned king? Or is it something that is going to happen? Has he been put into authority and has all power in heaven and on earth been put into his hand now, here and now today? Look at Psalm 2. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And then it says in verse 4, he who sits in the heaven laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. The king has already been installed. He has been given as head over all things to the church, which is his body. Oh, friends, what marks the mature church is what we find in the letter to the Ephesians. It begins with a revelation of all the fullness that are in Christ, all the blessings. How wonderful that is, how we need it. It goes on explaining how we need to walk in all what we have got and possess it. It goes further on to explain how necessary it is to see the house of God be built up, the church being built up. But it ends in Ephesians in the 6th chapter, as you may know well. In chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, this is the last part of that address that the Apostle Paul has for the church in Ephesus. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Finally, when we see the fullness of God and at Christ we come into it, we grow and we walk in Christ, we see the church being built, but it ends up finally that God wants to express through that church and use that church to accomplish great things, to put it up against the powers of evil, the evil spirit, the ruler in this darkness. Even in the beautiful Song of Solomon, where we are told about this lovely bride, in the first two chapters we see how she is blessed by God. She enjoys in the banqueting hall all the wonderful experiences of the Spirit. But there comes a phase in her walking with the Lord where He takes her out in the wilderness to give her a new vision. And there she beholds the King sitting on a chair lifted up by 60 mighty men of war. Now this is a picture of how God is longing not only to bless His people, to see us walk in Christ, to see us being built up as His body, but His longing that we might be able to lift up the head and to walk into warfare, to bring that supreme authority, that supreme power of God into operation against all the terrors of the night, as it is put in the Song of Solomon in the third chapter. Oh, how God is longing for the body to be able to lift up the head and to bring the head, the victorious head, the mighty name of Jesus into battle, into victory. And we are even reading among all these wonderful poetic words about the bride that she has the most extraordinary, remarkable beauty. It says in the sixth chapter, the beauty of the bride is like an awesome army. What a beauty. Have you seen sometime on the television when they have the big display in Moscow and the whole army comes with all the tanks and rockets? It doesn't look beautiful. But in the eyes of God, there is a beauty when He has a church He can use in the spiritual warfare. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. What a beauty. God has called us to exercise authority. Go with me to Revelation 8. And we'll read some verse. And when He broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. This is exercise of divine authority by prayer ministry of the church. It's wonderful that God is preserving all the prayers of the saints. I never read anywhere in the Bible that he is going to preserve all my beautiful sermons. None of them. None of my dear brothers here, however good they have been this week, God will not preserve them. Only in your heart we trust. But he is keeping the prayers of the saints. It's the most precious thing. They are on the golden altar. And those prayers, so weak they are, so feeble they are, oh, God is making them perfect through the incense of the Spirit. Remember that word in Romans 8:26. We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit helps our weakness, because the Spirit intercedes on our behalf before God. He knows what is the will of God. And when these prayers are coming out before God, they are being transformed to tremendous power that falls down on the earth. Thunder, sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And it speaks here in Revelation of the fulfillment of God's plan. I believe that God has designed his house to be a house of prayer unto all nations. I believe that God has tied himself up with the prayers of his saints. I believe that God is not moving if there's no prayer. There was a sister that once was dreaming and had a vision. She came into heaven. And while she walked around, she saw a big reservoir. Reservoir, do you understand? It's French, really. A basin. And it was filled with some water. And in the dream, she found herself asking the angel, "What is this?" "Oh, yes," he said, "this is the place where we are preserving the prayers of the saints." "Oh," she said, "I'm so sad because there's only a little water in the reservoir." "Yes," he said, "but whenever it's being filled up, we will pour it out upon the earth." Oh, how necessary the ministry, the prayer ministry of the church. That sister became an intercessor from that day on. She interceded both for the church, but also for her nation before God. There's never been any move of God. There's never been any outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's never been any move of God. Not that God couldn't do it. He's sovereign. But he has tied himself up with that vessel of his church, that pipeline, through which all what God will do today has to come. He has tied himself up with the prayers of the saints. So how important it is for us to understand, brothers and sisters, to become truly a house of prayer unto all nations. In Matthew 18, we have the well-known scripture about the prayer ministry of the church. Matthew 18 and verse 18. Truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth, thing is, as you may know, it doesn't say that God will bind on earth and then it shall be bound in heaven. It doesn't say that God will loose on earth and it shall be loosed in heaven. It says that we shall bind and we shall loose. And when we are binding, God will confirm it, and he too will bind. And when we are loosing, God will confirm our loosing, and he too will loose in heaven. We have got the keys. There's nothing being bound if the church is not binding anything. There's nothing being loosed if the church is not loosening anything. It says in the old story about Moses and Joshua fighting the Amalekites. Is that the word? Amalekites. In the Exodus chapter 17, you remember how Moses went on the mountain and he lifted his hand with the staff, the rod of God in it. And as long as his hands were lifted, they got a victory down there in the valley where Joshua and all the warriors fought against the enemy. But as soon as his hands sank down, then the enemy were coming against them and were able to subdue them. And you remember how Aaron and Hur went to sustain and support the arms of Moses so that his hands could be lifted up with that rod of God, that staff, until the sun went down. And they got such a victory that day. This is a picture of exercising authority. That staff was a picture of God's authority. And we must learn through prayer to exercise authority in the church today over all things that God is putting to our feet. And we have seen in Denmark that God is able to do far above, exceedingly above what we even can ask and pray for. There was one day I walked in the streets of Copenhagen. There have been so many evil things coming forth in our nation in the last few years. And I saw a cinema. And I saw there was a movie going on called I Saw Jesus Die. I phoned my co-worker, a brother in Christ. We decided to go and see what it was all about. So we went in, but we were not able to stay there for more than 10 minutes. It was the most wicked thing I've ever seen. How blasphemous it was. How untrue. How they tried to defile the Lord Jesus. in that film. We went out and we went back to our church fellowship the next day for a prayer meeting. And in the prayer meeting, God put it upon our hearts to ask Him, or I should say, to exercise authority over that wicked movie. So that night, I have been traveling in Denmark for 5 years on schools and colleges to speak to young people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what such an influence can do in order to break down that pure image of the Lord Jesus as the highly exalted Savior without sin. So that night we decided before the Lord that we would ask Him to give us permission to bind that film. And I shall never forget what happened that night. We were 150. I have the privilege of being in a group of believers whose prayer meetings almost exceed the Sunday morning worship in number. It's the biggest meetings we had. And there were 150 of God's dear children standing on their feet. And we spoke as one man, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bind this movie and the influence thereof. So we went home after we were prayed for some other things too. And then this next morning, I opened the paper, and to my big surprise, the movie was no longer there. So I phoned to inquire what had happened, and they told us that very night at the second performance, the soundtrack broke down. And 2 weeks went on, and then it came up again. They had got the soundtrack repaired. This is like the enemy. He's coming again and again and again and again. So 2 weeks later, we saw the same advertisement. And we had a prayer meeting the very same day. So that night we said to the Lord, once again, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bind that movie. And we went home after we had prayed for some other things. And the next morning I was very interested to see my morning paper. And can you believe it? It was not there. So I phoned to inquire. And do you know what had happened? The police director had called the director of that cinema and said he had got some very important people appealing to him. And that night, this director of this cinema, he didn't sleep too well. He was afraid. So he decided by himself to take this cinema movie off. And it's never been there since. It was just like that. But the enemy has many other things on. In the beginning of this year, there's a very famous actor in Denmark that was playing in a theater play. And it's the most expensive play that has ever been in Denmark. They came to America and they were here for several months to study all kinds of things to get such a big smashing show. But the thing that troubled us was that this actor was to perform a scene where he was to walk on the water like the Lord Jesus and sing a most blasphemous and dirty song mocking the name of God. So when we heard it, we were together. And I called some of the brethren. I said, we ought to pray about this, because it should go on television. So we have only one channel in Denmark. But everyone is watching television. The whole nation would listen and see that song. Imagine that. You have so many stations and programs. But everything that happens on television, every people know about it. So we decided to bring the matter before the Lord. And while we were praying, the Lord said to me, ask that this whole theater show shall come to an economic ruin. What, I said, Lord, am I to suggest to my dear brothers and sisters that we pray for an economic disaster for this whole thing? Yes. So I stopped the prayer meeting. I said, brothers and sisters, I feel that we should pray that God will make it so that this whole thing will go out in economic ruin. So we prayed that night. And you won't believe what happened. They only went on for 2 weeks, and then they discovered that there was a lack of $1 million. So they decided to quit the show. The biggest show ever made, only 2 weeks, economic disaster. We are called to rule even in our cities, brothers and sisters, in our nations. We are called, and Paul the Apostle, he is exhorting us to pray that in our nation there must be suitable conditions for the Word of God to come to as many as possible. Because God desires that as many as possible can come to salvation. We have a responsibility. But so often we are not aware of it, and we don't bother. We don't care about these things. I remember Brother Lance once spoke and told about a similar thing in Richmond. I don't think he would mind me mentioning it here. About a pornographic shop that they started up in Richmond area in London. And as far as I remember, the brothers and sisters prayed about it, and our brother prayed that God would put a bomb on the whole thing. What a prayer to pray. I thought he was so spiritual and so saintly. And you know what happened? The next morning it had all gone up in fire. There was a gas heater that had been overheated. No people had been injured, but all the material had gone up in smoke. Praise God. Praise God. It's amazing when we discover that God will bind when we bind, and God will lose when we lose. And the last thing I will speak to you about is another well-known evil, wicked, blasphemous film about the Lord Jesus called The Many Faces of Jesus. You may have heard about it here in the United States. It's gone around the whole world. It happened 3 years ago that a very evil film instructor who had earned 10 million Danish kroner, that's equal to $2 million, on a very dirty pornographic movie, he found this wicked idea of making a pornographic film about the Lord Jesus. And he announced it openly. And through an independent film institute in Denmark, he got governmental support. He got $100,000 for this project. And he started up. You know, when I saw that, you know what I did? I went to see that man. I called him on the telephone and asked for an appointment. I went to see him. I spoke with him for 4 hours. And I did exactly what Ezekiel 3 has been telling. I warned him about doing it. Because, brothers and sisters, we have seen before in history that God can punish a nation. When the measure of sin has become full, it was part of the conquering of Canaan that the measure of sin in that wicked country had become full. And God would destroy it and punish it. I went to see him and I spoke with him for 4 hours. I tried to persuade him. I even tried to bring him to the Lord, but nothing could stop him. But he showed me on the map on the wall that he had found a beautiful place down in France where he was going to shoot that movie. And I remember that place in France. I noticed it very carefully. And I went home and I said to the friends, we've got to pray that the Lord will hinder this man in getting down to France and to shoot this film. Now, the most unusual thing happened. I've never heard of anything like that before. While we were praying, the Lord spoke to one of my brothers. And he stopped the meeting and he said, brothers, I feel that our leading brothers ought to write a letter to the Pope in Rome. Can you believe it? It's a very, very special church fellowship we have in Copenhagen. Why don't you come over and see for yourself? And you know, we prayed about it. And this idea we found came from the Lord. So we sat down, two of us, and we wrote a letter to the Pope. But as we knew that the Pope would get a lot of letters and never read them, we mailed it to the Roman Catholic newspaper, Osservatore Romano, to the editor, and asked him if he could publish it. And you know what happened? He did it. 2 days after, it was on the front page of Osservatore Romano. And I can't believe it. It's so unbelievable. Down at his summer residence, the Pope was sitting and reading his own newspaper, Osservatore Romano. And he saw that thing. It was just before Easter. And in his Easter speech, he took up this whole thing and he spoke against it. And all the cardinals in France began to tremble. And all the Catholic priests began to say, in our country is such a film going to be issued? And the French government began. And it ended up with that this man was forbidden. He couldn't get into France. They turned him down. But not only there, he sought to get into nine other countries in South America, but no one would let him come in. And when they heard about it in the United States, they wrote so many letters to the Danish ambassador in Washington that he was actually home to consult with his government in Copenhagen. He appeared on the Danish television. I saw him, he said, this thing could easily damage the Danish export. We've got to stop it. Do you know what happened? The government took back all the money. And nothing happened for a while, but he came back again. For a year ago, this man. And in some way, he succeeded to get another delivery of money for this wicked film. And this time, something unhappy happened. The Danish Minister of Culture, he is, and he was, is still the same, but he has been in and out for some time. And this has been really an answer to prayer. I'll tell you the story and finish with that. The Danish Minister of Culture, he's a left-wing socialistic minister, very atheistic. So he defended, in the second time, he defended this film and the money who had been provided. So when we heard about that, we said, we'd better pray a little for this Minister of Culture. We better put him under the authority that is in the name of Jesus. You know, it's incredible what the saints can do through prayer. He is head over all things. He is head over prime ministers, presidents, ministers of culture, parliament, and everything else. And he is head over all the wicked spirits that are behind. He is head, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. And I remember the prayer as if it had been prayed yesterday. The prayer went like this: God, if this minister of culture cannot be used for your purpose, get us another minister. Get us another minister. In 2 months' time, there was an election in Denmark. And this minister of culture and the whole government fell. But the strange thing was that the minister of culture, he not only lost his seat, his position as a minister, he lost even his seat in parliament. And he was unemployed for 1 year. And do you know what happened in that year? Because he's back again. He came back again. We have many elections in Denmark. He came back again. But he was completely transformed. He took up this whole matter and he defeated it. He brought it through to a final victory. He was the very man who had supported it before. God can bow the hearts of kings and change the attitude of a minister. And now it seems as if we got the final victory. But do you know, the enemy has transported it to Sweden and even to Finland. And the Christians in Sweden and Finland is in the highest degree of alarm. I've just visited those two countries for the same reason. And when I come home, we will be traveling a bit to visit the churches, the children of God, the people of the Lord. For we have seen that the house of God has been called to be a house of prayer unto all nations. Now, if we are going to reign with Christ forever and ever, if we are going to rule over cities in the millennium, one city, five cities, 10 cities, I think it is about time that we get started right here and right now. There's no such thing in the Word of God as being transformed from totally ignorance and lack of responsibility into a king and a priest ruling over cities. It's got to start down here by the prayer ministry of the church, by being involved in the spiritual warfare against the rulers of darkness. Brothers and sisters, it was all meant as an encouragement to you. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray that you will raise up your church. Let it not only be equipped with gifts and filled with the Spirit, but let it also put on the whole armor of God and be raised up in prayer. Oh God, give us this vision that we have a battle to fight. We have a struggle, not against flesh and blood, not with men, not with politicians or parliament, but with the evil forces, the rulers in this darkness. Lord, open our hearts and eyes, and do lead us into an outworking, Lord, a practical outworking of this great calling in these desperate days in which we are living. This we pray and praise you for. In Jesus' name.